It's not like we're suddenly going to have a crop of geniuses spring up on the earth and bring all the various factions of the world together and form an amazingly smooth world government, and that these geniuses are going to look back. Well, this will probably happen. These people will look back and say, well, why couldn't people do this? It was so easy to gain world domination. Why has this been a problem? Peace in the Middle East, that was a piece of cake. What they don't realize is that God is going to suddenly remove all the roadblocks. And so where there were a dozen roadblocks before, there were none. It's going to be smooth sailing and clip, 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 one step at a time. Well, that wasn't so hard. It's kind of like, you know, they pave Mount Everest and people drive up there and they get to the summit. I don't know why everybody said this was such a struggle. Then the poor people who climbed it, you know, back in 1952, Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. Well, you should have been here when it was covered with ice and snow. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and you're at the Revelation Series another week. I'm shooting for 700 shows. It's too attractive. That number 700 looming here now. It's just too attractive. I'm gonna shoot for it. I'm not gonna cheat you in any way with any kind of information here. So God is going to smooth the way, and roadblocks that have been ancient roadblocks are going to be removed, and humans are going to think, well, we're a bunch of geniuses. Why couldn't those fools from eras past get this accomplished? Well, some fools did. Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, two world dominant leaders, the Medo-Persian Empire, of course. It has happened in the past, but it hasn't happened since the Roman Empire. The Empire of Alexander the Great. The Greeks, they were pretty good. All right, the chronology of the first 2,000 years. Now, I've discovered an important thing that I want to share with you is that God taught Adam to count. And he taught him by the cycle. And Adam learned that the seventh day is a completion. With the seven, the completion of the week is reached. And so there's a conclusion. That's why you love the weekend. And that's why Israel looked forward to the Sabbath. And people look forward to Christmas because it's a conclusion. In our calendar, it's the conclusion of a year. Because we're just not happy if things don't conclude. When you read a novel, you want to keep reading if it's engaging to the end. There's a conclusion. And now some of us have fallen into the trap that this, where's the conclusion? There is a conclusion. And to prove that there's a big conclusion, God graciously gives us a conclusion every week, the end of the week. It's the end. It's the end. Yeah. End times. This is end time truth. The Sabbath day, Saturday. End time truth. There's an end to the week. Every week we have end time truth. That's not a joke. I'm being very serious here. These are chronological concepts, and the task given to Adam to count the years became evident in the document of enumeration. We are talking about Genesis chapter 5. Now's a good time to go there. I am going to attempt here to open my concordant version of the Old Testament, and I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 5 to show you how painstaking these enumerations are, and Adam was to keep track of it. Are you ready for this? This is the scroll of the genealogical records of Adam. That was not me. That was actually verse 1 of chapter 5 of Genesis. This may sound boring to you, but this is important to our topic because this is how we keep track of years. On the day Elohim created Adam, in the likeness of Elohim he made him. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and called their name human on the day they were created. Adam lived 230 years and begot a son in his likeness, and after his image he called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after his beginning, Seth, came to be 700 years, and he begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam which he lived came to be 930 years, then he died. Then he died. So plainly stated. Adam came to be 930 years. Wow, that's impressive. Yes. And then he died. Seth lived 205 years and begot Enosh. After his begetting Enosh, Seth lived 707 years. 707, that's an interesting number, and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth came to be 912 years. Then he died. Enosh lived 190 years and begat Canaan. After his begetting Canaan, Enosh lived 715 years and begot sons and daughters. Begot. So all the days of Enosh came to be 905 years. Then he died. Canaan lived 170 years and begot Mahalalel. Too many L's in this name. Mahalalel. Maybe it's Mahalalel. After his begetting Mahalalel, Canaan lived 740 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan came to be 910 years. Then he died. Mahalalel lived 165 years and begot Jared. After his begetting Jared, Mahalalel lived 730 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel came to be 895 years. Then he died, and all those L's went to the grave with him. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After his begetting Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared came to be 962 years. Then he died. Enoch lived 165 years and begot Methuselah. We all know Methuselah. That's the oldest guy that ever lived. I mean, should I say he's the guy that lived the longest out of all the sons of Adam. He lived 200 years and begot sons. Now, yes, he didn't live a total of 200 years. It was just that he waited. He luxuriated. He just took his time. And when he turned 200, he says, I'm going to beget me some sons and daughters. And he did that all the days of Enoch. Came to be 365 years. This was just, he was just getting started while Enoch was walking with the one Elohim. Then he was not found for Elohim. What happened to Methuselah lived 200 years? Enoch lived in Gimmegan. Oh, Methuselah. Okay. We're not going to talk about Methuselah for a while. We're not talking about Enoch. Enoch came to be 365 years while Enoch was walking with the one Elohim. Then he was not found for Elohim took him away. Enoch was, people think Enoch went to heaven, but he actually came back down. He just went away and came back down in another place, kind of like Philip did in the book of Acts. That's not my topic here. Don't worry. Enoch's not still alive. Enoch didn't go to heaven. Enoch is not in heaven. Methuselah, however, lived 187 years and begot Lamech. He's still got his manhood working there at 187 years, but again, he's just getting started. After his begetting Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years. Add that together. He begat sons and daughters. Okay. Still going strong, 782 years. So all the days of Methuselah came to be 969 years. See, we're adding all this up. We're saying at a certain point of Methuselah's life, he did this. He begat Enoch. All right. Then he took a break, lived for another couple hundred years, started begatting again, and had some more begattles, and then begat some more, and then before you know it, he dies. He died at 969 years, a world record. Lamech lived 180 years, and don't worry, this chapter is almost over. I'm proving a point here. It's a point concerning numbers. Lamech lived 180 years, and he begat a son, called his name Noah. Your name shall be Noah, saying, this one shall console us because of our doings. Was that before or after we die of drowning? He consoles us. And because of the grief of our hands resulting from the ground that Yahweh has cursed. After his begetting Noah, Lamech lived 565 years and begot sons and daughters. You do that when you look back at it, you think of the people you begot. While you're doing it, you're begetting them. I'm going to beget some people, so 12 years from now I can talk about how I begot them. That's the way I'm reading it here. So all the days of Lamech came to be 753 years. Then he died. Noah came to be 500 years old. Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Do you get the idea that God's keeping track of things? And that Adam is the one who did this, by the way. Adam is the one who kept these records. It's very important. And people today realize that their genealogies are important, but not so important as they were back in the day. Much more important, obviously, because God is counting the years for humanity so that we know where we are on the calendar from Adam. Now, here's how this worked practically. Adam's creation to Seth's birth was 130 years. Where do we start the clock on Adam? You just answered your own question. We start the clock on Adam. Adam's born at 0000. Adam's creation to Seth's birth was 130 years. So where does that take us? It takes us to 130 FA, year 130 FA. Very simple. Seth's birth to Enosh's birth, that's 105 years. The reference Genesis 5:6, that takes us to 235 FA. Enosh's birth to Canaan's birth, 90 years. Again, all this is from Genesis chapter 5. That takes us to 325 F.A. It's a matter of addition. Cain's birth to Mahalalel's birth, that El guy, 70 years, Genesis 5:12, that's your reference, takes us to 395. The El guy's birth to Jared's birth, 65 years. That takes us to 460 F.A. Why? Because 395 plus 65 equals 460. Even I can do that. Jared's birth to Enoch's birth, 162 years. Takes us to 622. Let me skip ahead a few years. Let's go to Methuselah. Methuselah's birth to Lamech's birth, 187 years. That would be 187 years from the year 687 F.A. So that brings us to 874 F.A. Lamech's birth to Noah's birth, 182 years. That takes us to 1056. 1056 what? F.A. Years from Adam. Now, Noah's birth to the flood, plainly stated in Genesis 7:6, to be 600 years. We add 600 years to 1056, and we get 1656 F.A. That's not 1656 B.C. It's not 1656 A.D. It's 1656 F.A. Years from Adam. We're starting from 0000. We're adding up these years. From the flood to, oh, come on, Arphaxad's birth, 2 years, Genesis 11:10. See, God did a little thing there to make sure we were paying attention. Genesis 11:10, I should look that up. 600, we're at the year 1658 at that point. Flood to, oh, let's do this, Genesis 11:10. Let me go to 11:10, one of these dangerous live Bible studies. Genesis 11:10, 2 years. That's weird because we have all these hundreds of years. Genesis 11:10, live Bible study. Thank you for your patience here. Assuming you're being patient, you might not be. 11:10, these are the genealogical records of Shem. 2 years after the deluge, when Shem was 100 years old, he begot Arphaxad. Well, that must have been a real argument between him and his wife. What do we name him? How about Arphaxad? I was thinking Bill? No. Arphaxad. After his beginning, Arphaxad, Shem... Oh, after his beginning, Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years of B.S. Well, there it is. It's 2 years. It's right there. So 2 years brings us to 1658. From Arphaxad's birth to Salah's birth. This is all now, we're in Genesis chapter 11. You can look at this for yourself. We have Eber coming on, Peleg, Reu, Sereg, Nahor, and Terah. Who's Terah? The father of Abraham. We have 35 years, 30 years, 34, 30. Add them all up, get a calculator. And by the time we have Terah's birth to Abraham's birth, Terah being the father of Abraham, that's 70 years. We are at 1948. We're at 1948 from Adam. Abraham, therefore, was born 1,948 years after Adam. And it's that simple. Now, granted, it does get complicated later when we get to the kings. But I'm going to go over that with you, too. But I'm just showing you how this system works. It's a matter of addition, but you need to find the numbers that you're adding up. Then you need to have a calculator. You need to know that 16 plus 2 is 18 and so on and so forth. And when you start the clock at 0000, it's that simple. Could it be that simple? Could it be that simple, Martin? Yes, in principle, it is that simple.